Dee McKinley, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you have spent your life advocating for civil rights, beginning in the hot spot of the movement, Alabama, your girlhood home, and continuing here in Fort Wayne. Now, this was back in the 60s when voting rights and desegregation were the causes. Honestly, Dee, how far would you say we've come in these 60 years?
Well, I think we took two steps forward, but we definitely took five steps backwards. It's almost like we've come full circle and now are starting all over again.
Okay. What would you say were and still are then the biggest problems we face, starting at the top?
Well, the top thing would be racism, most definitely. That is one of the most prevalent things that is still here that we would have thought after 50 years would have been eradicated.
Indeed, assimilating all cultures, all people, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
They call it systemic, they call it generational. It's a tough one to tackle. Do you think it can change?
Well, I think it can change one person at a time, but you know how many people that would touch and how long then would that take to make a difference for, well, let's say for a generation. It would take a long, long time if we're taking one step at a time. Now we need to partner with someone else to help us take those steps. And if 2 times 2 is 4 and 4 times 2 is 8, if we double and triple and keep going, then eventually we may be able to eradicate that. But I don't think racism is that easily eradicated.
It's perhaps more a frame of mind. The whole world wishes it could get over.
Right.
We all try to get better.
We all try to get better. But, you know, there are so many blockers that keeps us from getting better. Even some people who don't feel that racism is a problem, but then they know someone who does, and it's someone who may very well be very close to them, and they don't want to, you know, rock the boat with those people who they feel that they have to please.
Peer pressure is such an important point.
Most definitely.
And that would lead us to the next point on your list, which is injustice.
Well, injustice is still injustice. It has not really changed that much. Injustice is still everywhere. Somewhere in some city, big or small, there's a lot of injustices going on. Everybody may want to turn their head when they see it happening, as opposed to saying something when they see it happening. The cliche now is, you see something, say something. But many of us see things and then we act as if we don't see it because we feel that that's the safest way to live, I guess. You know, I don't see it. If I don't say anything, then it doesn't affect me.
A horrible point. Well made, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps one of the saddest or maybe pervasive would be housing discrimination. I know that's
definitely
been a big battle that you've fought all
mm-hmm.
this while.
Mm-hmm. Housing discrimination, once it was in the forefront, it kind of went undercover. I won't say it disappeared. It went undercover. But now it is, like I said, we've basically come full circle. There's still redlining going on. There's still blockbusting going on. And redlining simply means that the banks draw a red line that they are not going to loan money in this area. Blockbusting simply is that realtors go and say something to a white family. Look who's moving next door. You know your property value is going to go down. And that is still going on in 2020.
And this happens to be one of the biggest battles that you took on in your earliest days here in Fort Wayne. And you watchdog it.
Most definitely. I was one who did testing in various neighborhoods. I did testing bankers. I did testing realtors. I did testing homeowners, etc. And as director of Metro Human Relations Commission, if I didn't have a person to come in and file a complaint, my ordinance gave me the power to file a director's complaint. So we did that all over the city. And I feel that especially as we go into 2021, that method may be the very method that may make a change again, because it did make a difference. We had HUD in here and everything to stand behind us as we did these tests. And now they're directing people to certain parts of the city and they're misdirecting them in other parts of the city. So it is going on. It is going on. And I can just even think it's not just housing discrimination. It is city discrimination, I guess I'll call it that, because you look at where the city puts its money, and it's so less money going in the southeast quadrant, you know. But if you look around all the other parts of the city, there are things that's going up here, going up there, and what's going on in southeast? What is being put in that part of the city? We might have to bring about a change, and that will take all of us to see a change in our city. For Amen. All of our citizens.
Amen, Dee. And that brings us to another basic we would hope was equal for all right now, and that's health care. And that affects older adults of every ethnicity and group, also people of color. What do you see?
It's still that discrimination that's taking place, even in the health care field. You know, because most of the time when we look in our city, it's Coliseum, it's Parkview, and it's Lutheran, but it's nothing southeast. It's on all of us. You know, we have to say something. Why aren't you doing that without being afraid of repercussion? But I'll tell you, anything worth fighting for is worth fighting for. So go forward.
And the bottom line in that case, of course, is your community is only as healthy as the least healthy of the community.
That's it. You don't have a whole community if part of your community is not being served. So you limping along, you know, and how long will we limp? That's the thing. When are we going to say this is for everybody? We got four quadrants in a sense. We got four parts of the city. We'll say it like that. Why is it there isn't a pool of money and then we divide it? It's as simple as can be. Four will go into any number evenly, just about, you know.
Doing the math. Thank you there. Thank you, Dee.
Yes.
Now, last but not least, on your list of five most intense issues is youth roles. Your whole passion, which turned into your entire life, started at a very tender age. You were 15 when you were working in the
Voters League, right.
Down in Bessemer, Alabama. So now, what are you seeing and what needs to change?
Well, we have an organization called Changemakers, and they are making an impact. And there are other youth groups that have started. But, you know, my start was my parents. My parents took me and said, you're going to learn how to volunteer. You're going to learn how, you know, you're going to learn how to give back and all of that. We don't talk enough about giving back to our young people because we don't want them to have to go through what we went through. But I went through and I think I turned out okay, you know. So we've almost come back full circle that we must bring them along. If they're not pulling on our coattails and saying, I wanna, we got to reach back and grab them and bring them and tell them why they need to be a part of this because we're passing on. So we don't want a movement to stop because we're no longer here. We want a movement to get more fire under them, and we are going to share every piece of information that we can to help young people understand that you have a role, you have something to do, and we want you to do it. We don't want you to just sit back and say, oh, well, that's them over there. You know, I got all I need. It's because you have all you need why we want you to want to help somebody who doesn't have or who might not have all they need. We have to train our young people in movements. We have to do that. We have to bring them along. We have to teach them how, if it gets back to the point where things are very segregated and you can't go here and you can't go there, we have to train them how they are to respond when people are mean to them. You got to be trained on how to survive because of the high profiling that's going on. It's so much just because you belong to this race of people. And it's just natural for you to do these things. And you're not even thinking about these things. So what happens when you're confronted about something you didn't do? How do you respond when a police officer stops you? How do you respond when people say evil things to you, just standing in line? You know, what are you doing here? Go back to Africa and all of those kind of comments. How are you going to respond? We have to teach and train them how to respond to that. And not just African Americans. When you become friends to African Americans, you are targeted too. So, you know, we have to teach everybody who want to make a difference how to respond to these kinds of things.
And this is to keep them in the circle, to not break that change, to not break
not
that
to
circle
break it.
And the energy.
Oh, not yes. to break it, because the more we see togetherness, the more we have hope. And a city without hope is bound to perish. You must have hope. It's like faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You may not be able to see it, but you can hope that it will be.
And taken in their entirety, this list is pretty daunting, Dee. So in your mind, how far do you think we still need to go in this battle? And is it doable?
I think it's doable, but we have to keep going and going and going. We have to be like the Energized Bunny. We got to keep going. We can't let our battery die simply because some people say, oh, it's not going to do any good. So why you keep doing this? Why you keep doing that? It is going to do some good. It may not do any good in my lifetime, but I have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you know? So we must keep it going, passing the baton. What I know and what others know, they need to share with somebody else. It doesn't do any good to take it to the grave with us, and we have not passed it on.
But there's time, and so there is hope.
There is hope.
Now, your local platforms personally have included the free schools of the 1960s, mm-hmm. Fort Wayne Urban League, Metropolitan Human Relations Commission, public school case management, a remarkable history you do have, Dee. What new or improved arenas are you seeing right here in 2021?
Well, my new arena, I'm getting real excited because of the fact that at this age, I want to be a life coach. You know, hey, come on, let's get you focused so that you won't spin your wheels doing nothing and then all of a sudden get my age and say, oh, well, what did I do? It goes back to what I said. Let's train our young people to take the mantle and run with it. That's what this needs to be. It needs to be a torch that is passed on to young people and then from them that they pass it on and pass it on. So it goes from one generation to another generation. It never dies. It's a torch that will not go out. As long as I'm living, I'm going to try to help make sure it doesn't go out. And it takes everybody to make sure it doesn't go out. It's not just a one race battle. It's all of us in this, all of us in it. Well, what can I do? There are many things you can do. You can spread the word. You know, you can tell people, let's go, let's do this. We can do little things, you know, that makes a difference. The other thing is that if you say, I don't know what I would say, then you need to listen more. Find somebody who has been in a movement. Find somebody who knows. You have people who watch the news all day long. So find somebody you know who might be that person who could share with you things that's going on in this country, but in other countries as well. Maybe we can take some of those things from them and put it together with ours. And oh, what a wonderful world this would be. I wait on that day for a wonderful world.
What a perspective, indeed. And speaking of, how does social media play into all of this, would you say? Is it more tool or trouble?
I think it's more trouble simply because people say so many things on social media and it's not all true. But sometimes people are not looking for the truth. People are looking for things that they can latch on to and keep going, keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. It could be a good tool, but the situation is that the negative far outweigh the positives. The journey that we saw January 6th, most of that was social media. Social media and spreading hate and all of that. And that far outweighed the good stuff because somebody just saw it and say, they think like I think. So, you know, I think we should be doing this and we should be doing that. It hurt my heart so bad, you know, to even just watch in our free country that kind of stuff was going on.
And we all hope that the positive part of social media will continue to spread. Meanwhile,
most definitely, but it has an uphill battle, but we can help it move forward because we can all say positive things, you know.
And continue to make the difference.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you're a fierce activist, a fighter, not a quitter, that's obvious, but 60 years, Dee, does it ever feel like it's going to grind you down to nothing, or does it simply make you more determined than
ever? It energizes me. The things that I thought would not be a battle 50 years later, it's still a battle. Therefore, to me, it says that you still have more work to do. And as long as I have breath in my body and can move these old bones, I'm going to do the best that I can to make a difference. If that means marching, if that means carrying water to the marchers, you know, I don't care what my assignment may be during this time. I know that I do have an assignment. I want to be doing something. And something doesn't always have to be the headlines for me. I can do as much behind the scene. You know, I can't run as fast as I did when we were running from the fire hose and the dogs and all of that. But I can bring you something, you who are running. I can be handing you some water while you run and go do what needs to be done at that time.
Because we are all in this together.
We are all in this together. And I tell you, bones hurting and all, but I guarantee you, it reminds me of when I saw older people, you know, in Birmingham during the marches. And I'm saying, what y'all old people doing out here? But I understand, because now I'm them. I want to make it better. And it's gotten some better, but it's not where it should be. So we keep fighting.
So bottom line, why must this journey continue? And what's the next step we as a united front and upstanding community should take?
Well, when we see injustices anywhere, we need to say something. And if that means it gets us in trouble for saying something, that's okay. Because John Lewis say, if you get in good trouble, that's all right. So the situation is, I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble somewhere at some point in time, but I want it to be good trouble. To, as I said, pass the baton on to another generation, like change makers here in the city who's trying to make a difference, saying we don't know exactly what we're going to do or where we're going, but we're going to make a difference. You're going to see us. We're going to be seen and we're going to be heard, you know, until we can sit at the table and help make rules and regulations and laws that are not one-sided, but laws that will take care of all of the citizens of the city of Fort Wayne, the county of Allen, the state of Indiana, these United States. So we have something to do. We have to pass it on. It's never too late. You're never too old and you're never too young to join a movement. I could remember when we were running, you know, from dogs and fire holes and smaller kids younger than us who would fall down and how the adults would pick them up and keep running with them. That's what we have to do. We have to pick them up and run with them. We must keep it going.
Dee McKinley is a longtime social advocate and activist, educator, and community leader here in Fort Wayne. Dee, we are honored to share your story with our listeners. Thank you so much for showing us the way, and do carry the gift.
Will do, and thank you so much for always giving me an opportunity to say a little piece to this city.